Sometimes unconventional, but always entertaining. They're kooky and they're spooky. It's time to cross to the other side. Welcome to Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata.
Good evening and welcome to Spooky Sundays, where if it can go wrong, it will, and we'll blame it on the ghosts. Welcome. We've got Cousin Steve, Auntie Renata, and myself, Auntie Anne, here in studio to bring you a bevy of spooky stories and ghostly happenings and maybe some things that we got up to over the weekend as well. And don't forget, you can always join in and be part of the show by texting 0490 84 888 6. And for those who are watching on the YouTube channel right now, you'll see that we've put the number there for you so you can follow along. And yes, Auntie Renata is in trouble already.
So the most important question is, what were we looking through? You said we were looking through something.
Oh, don't worry.
She's traumatised herself now.
I was speaking to our lovely people that are watching us live on YouTube, and Anne pushed the buttons.
Well, that was the intro music. You know how this show works.
Yeah, you've got to be able to be multimedia.
We've been doing it for 2 years now.
Multimedia people. You've got to look and you've got to talk and you've got to speak.
Actually, it's two and a half years, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
And Spooky Sundays, True Hauntings has just turned 3.
Oh. Yes.
As we reached 600,000 downloads.
I hope it's got its bloody dummy out of its mouth.
For only 140 episodes, 600,000 downloads.
So we want more.
We want more.
So if you haven't downloaded it yet, what are you doing?
Absolutely. Become a True Hauntings fan. True Hauntings podcast is the podcast that we put out every, well, fortnight at the moment, and that is where we have a particular topic somewhere haunted and we dive deeply into the story behind it.
So we talk about
the history, we talk about the hauntings, the ghosts, the spirits, what's going on, what's behind the story. Is it really a ghost or is it something a little bit more nefarious that's going on? And then we give you our take on whether we think it's a true haunting or not.
Oh, I like your enthusiasm. That was great, Renata.
Yeah.
Look, we have a suggestion here from one of our watchers, Dave. I have a suggestion. Steve has his creepy corner and has the ABC of mythical stuff. I think Renata should open up the Witch's Well.
Oh.
All things magical and stories of famous witches.
Oh, that's a good one. I could do that.
I like it.
Mm. I thought you already had your own section called Renata's Ramblings, which just repeats the same things over and over again.
And that might happen again quite soon because I'm reading from the mirror.
That's why we love you.
Mm. All right, well, okay. What have you got for us?
Now, I have spoken about this woman before. You might not remember, but this is, it'll come back to you. It'll come back to you because this is about Brocard. Brocard.
Oh, yes, I remember she Brocard.
She married a Victorian soldier.
Yeah.
Well, she's back. So a woman who married a ghost but then divorced him earlier this year over cheating allegations has revealed she has now decided to become a nun.
Well, she's already getting none, so.
The singer, and look, I was thinking about this before I go on. I feel for Brocard because, ladies, let's all think for a moment. We've all been in a fantasy relationship, haven't we? We have all been down that dark road where we thought we were getting one thing and we got something else completely. So I know what Brocard is going
but
through.
She's been in a phantasmic relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's
a singer-songwriter from Oxfordshire, and she fell in love with Eduardo. Remember Eduardo?
Eduardo!
A ghost of a Victorian soldier in late 2021. It was only a short marriage. And he appeared in her home. Hello.
What?
Their marriage hit the rocks over the claims of infidelity. I wonder how she found out. And him often ghosting her for days. So, Brocard, 40, oh, darling, you're getting on, decided to call it quits on her shady relationship this summer, even going as far as to have an exorcism to rid herself of the spectre. Oh, we all know how that goes.
Oh, we're having an exorcism, aren't we?
But Eduardo had other ideas and haunted and stalked her using bizarre disguises after she tried to move on from the relationship. So the singer has taken the astonishing step to try to ditch love altogether by becoming a nun and taking a vow of celibacy. Please write in the comments whether you think this is going to last for those watching. For those playing along right now, do you think Brocard can keep her celibacy? The singer says after she realised her troublesome ex didn't seem able to pester her while she was in church, she knew what her plan of action should be.
Oh, that means he was a demon.
Brocard told needtoknow.co.uk, I am at my wit's end. Eduardo blew up the TV when he saw our wedding on Gogglebox. He wouldn't go anywhere near churches or priests, so I'm hoping he's scared of nuns also.
Oh, I'm scared of nuns.
He hated the thought of me dating real men, so perhaps he will be content and finally rest in peace if I turn to God and a life of abstinence.
I don't know how she came to that conclusion.
I do.
And she gets another article in the newspaper and a little bit more.
A few thousand volts will fix Brocard, I think.
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, okay.
At least he won't feel threatened by other men as he hates me dating. If it gets rid of Eduardo, then it will be a blessing in disguise. I don't know how I'll cope with no sex. I'm a very passionate person. I'm not sure praying will be a suitable substitute. I'm also a bit concerned about being confined to one location.
It's amazing what you can do with a crucifix.
We've all seen The Exorcist.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a free spirit.
I didn't come up with that idea.
I'm just going to keep going. And I'm not sure how nuns feel about foreign holidays or cocktails by the ocean.
I was going there for the same place.
I guess I'll be the naughty nun who's sipping wine under the altar. My God, Brocard. Now, the former couple married last November, but things soured within months, and in the spirit of the odd arrangement, Brocard turned to an exorcist to end their marriage. Since then, Eduardo has been stalking her, driving her to a life of abstinence. She added, becoming a nun is really my final bid for freedom. If this doesn't work, then I do not know what I will do. Until she commits to a life in the convent, Brocard is focusing on her work as a singer-songwriter and has released a post-divorce tune called Just Another Anthem. Brocard said, I feel now it's the time for me to focus on my singing and songwriting. Eduardo has provided me with a ton of inspiration, so that's something to thank him for. Honestly, what do you say about that?
She was looking for the positive of the outcome.
Do we have any words that actually...
There is a mental health crisis in the world at the moment.
Do we have anything to say about that? Look, if you go to the True Hauntings podcast Facebook page, you will see a picture of Brocard on her knees.
What's her real name? What's her real name, though?
Oh, it's probably Sharon or something.
Probably Cheryl. Cloris.
Clarice.
Hello, Clarice.
Yeah, so, look, she's a good-looking sort. She doesn't have to stick around with...
Her imaginary ghost boyfriend.
Eduardo. She can find something else, honestly.
She is. She's finding nothing. She's going to the loft.
Brocard, get yourself a fine young man and live a happy living life. Live a happy life, girlfriend. So much more.
We have a message here from Yindia Mara who said, Renata's rambling was good tonight.
Thank you.
Also, I want to give you a shout out. Congratulations on 40 years of marriage.
Oh.
That's well done.
Who said that?
Yindia Mara.
I haven't been married for 40 years.
Not to you, to him. Oh God. It's all about her every time.
You didn't change the subject.
There wasn't an apostrophe or a comma.
I didn't put a comma. Now, we've been away this weekend. We've come back this afternoon. We headed off to Port Macquarie yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I had to hire a car. and fit us all in with a table and all our gear.
Because that's how people travel.
That's right. How we roll.
That's so how people travel, yeah.
We had Lisa who travelled from Sydney and we picked her up at the train station. Then we got cousin Steve and Barb to meet us at Renata's. And we all piled into the Kluger.
The Sonia Kruger.
Which turned out to be very uncomfortable for the people in the back seats.
I was all right.
Oh, I thought you said you had a sore ass.
Yeah, but I was trying to give, you know how like you reposition to try and give people a bit more room. I was hanging.
You were being kind.
You're on one butt cheek.
Yeah, it was hanging.
And we had a little bit of a road trip for about 3 hours, heading north in the car, and lots of laughter and fun, and then Steve would be suddenly sound asleep, snoring, and then he'd snap back and he'd be laughing and carrying on again. There's weird stuff going on there with cousin Steve, I tell you.
I have to recharge my social battery.
But yes, we headed off to a historic home in Port Macquarie called Roto House. Has anyone been there before? Anyone know of this house?
Now, they don't even know why it's called Roto House. There's no information to say why it was called that, other than they think that maybe the original couple, John Flynn and his wife, may have spent time at a place called Roto or Roto.
Or Rotorua.
No, no. It's in New South Wales somewhere. So.
Oh, never heard of it. So we had booked out the location for the team, and that is going to be our Christmas party and Christmas present to say thank you to them all for helping us throughout the year. And, slowly, one by one, things happened.
The stars did not align.
No, stars did not align, but we ended up with three very faithful members who came along and Joanne and Wayne.
Yes. We made a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
We did. And let me tell you, we managed to film it. We got permission to film it. And there will be a YouTube episode coming out, maybe after we finish the New Orleans one. Because we've got one more Nolans
to do.
Please go watch those. They are really interesting, the stories from the people of New Orleans. And, we had phenomena that we cannot explain. And we caught it on video. They caught it on video, and we took it to the owner this morning and took her to the room where it happened, played it to her and said, "Can you identify this?" And she went, "We have nothing here that represents that." Mm-hmm. Nothing.
And the rest of the staff too.
Yeah, and now they're all freaked out a little bit.
No, they're all right.
They're okay. But we will put it together and we will put it out for you in a week or two.
You'll see.
But it depends, because poor cousin Steve, he's got...
he's a busy girl.
He's a busy, busy girl at the moment. He's got dance concerts on left, right and centre. But
spreading my layers quite thin.
Yeah. And before we go to a song too, I just want to mention... member of the family of one of our volunteers, a couple, Mick and Vic. Mick's mum is still here with us. She's not well. So we're sending our love to her.
And to you guys too.
Yeah. Hope that she's comfortable and, trying to get through as best as she can.
Anyway, with all of that, we're going to go head off to a song, and I might not be familiar with some of these ones. Tove Lo, Habits.
Tove Lo.
Tove Lo, there we go. I'm glad cousin Steve knows all this stuff. We'll be back after this.
Oh, my hip.
He's hip.
You're listening to Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
Oh, and it's your favourite time of the week. It is the ABC of mythical creatures as created by Anne. Now, I was given a little bit of a challenge last week. There were some complaints about the quality of the ABC of mythical creatures last week. When Renata did werewolves, they thought it might have been a little bit dry. Dry as a nun's throat after saying the rosary.
As Bricard.
So I had a request. Doesn't take much. One person requesting will do it for me. And I had the suggestion that maybe we should do Werewolf again, but with one of my radio plays.
Yay!
So Cousin Steve requested that because he does like to put on some voices. And we also had a request for one of our popular characters that we used to have when we used to do the other radio plays, and that is Hans.
He's returning. He's in distress.
Oh my God. Hans, okay. Hans, this is for you.
He will not be drawn out.
This is for you, Hans. This is your night.
All right. Are we ready? Are you limbered up? You
red, yellow, leather, red.
Right, we're warmed up.
Right. Okay.
Here we go. Of course, from ChatGPT. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome back to Spooky Sundays, where we dive into the world of paranormal with a dose of humour and a pinch of history. I'm your host, Anne, the ghost hunter with a killer sense of humour.
And I'm Renata, your gifted psychic medium and resident historian. Tonight, we have a howling good story for you all, quite literally.
And I'm Cousin Steve, the witty and funny guy who's always up for a supernatural adventure. So, Anne, Renata, what's on the menu tonight?
Well, Steve, we've got a tale of friendship, mystery, and, of course, a werewolf.
Our story takes place in the quaint town of Heidelberg, nestled deep in the heart of Germany. Oh, those crazy Germans. Our heroine tonight is Heidi. Hello, played by yours truly. Heidi is a good friend to our central character, Hans, portrayed by Cousin Steve.
Hi, guys. I'm your typical goose, Hans, living in Heidelberg, enjoying life and beer.
But lately, Hans has been acting strange. He's been disappearing on nights with a full moon and coming back with leaves in his hair and a wild look in his eyes.
Aha! The full moon. That's a classic werewolf phenomenon, right, Renata?
Absolutely, Anne. Full moons are often associated with werewolf transformations in folklore, but we can't jump to conclusions just yet.
I'm getting very confused. Which one is the Renata, the radio announcer, and which one is Heidi, the character?
We're going through the whole lot.
Okay.
What are you talking about, guys? I've just been talking moonlit walks in today.
Moonlit walks, huh? Well, let's see if Heidi can uncover the truth. One day, while snooping around Hans's place, she stumbled upon a curious silver pendant.
Oh, my God! It is a silver pendant! Just like in the legends. And there's a book about werewolves that explains how silver can harm them.
What? What do you think I'm a werewolf because of this pendant book?
Yeah, I have to find out, Hans. It's for your safety and the town's.
Heidi decided to keep an eye on Hans during the next full moon. And that night, under the silvery glow, she witnesses the transformation.
Oh, that tickles. What happened to me?
Hans! My God! You're turning into a wolf! I knew it!
I don't know if I can talk. The transformation is a classic werewolf trait, folks. But what will Heidi do now?
Heidi, you have to help me. I don't want to be a werewolf.
We'll find a way, Hans. But first, we need to consult the town's historian for help.
Oh, and that historian just happens to be our one and only Renata, our expert on all things paranormal and historical.
I've researched ancient remedies and rituals to break the werewolf's curse. Sorry. We'll need wolfsbane, silver, and a powerful incantation.
Do you think it'll work?
Heidi and Hans embark on a quest to gather the ingredients, facing challenges and dangers along the way. And as the next full moon approaches, the tension builds.
Oh, we can do this, Hans. We'll break the curse together.
Oh, thank you, Heidi, for being such a good friend and bringing me bread.
Will Heidi and Hans succeed in breaking the curse and saving Heidelberg from the rampaging werewolf? You'll have to tune in next week to find out.
That's right, folks. Just join us for another thrilling episode of Spooky Sundays as we continue our hunt for the soup. Supernatural.
And if you're ever in Heidelberg, watch out for full moons and moon on your moonlit walks and geese.
The end.
The end for now.
For now, apparently.
Da, da, da.
I didn't actually write in to have a second episode.
Is there going to be a sequel?
I think we're going to have a running story now.
It's called The Honking Part 2.
A honking in Heidelberg with Hans. Hans and Heidi.
Hans is just like logged off and blocked us and like.
Oh. Do we want a second part, people?
Yeah, do we want a second part?
Do we want part two?
We do have a suggestion.
The honking in Heidelberg.
From Dave that there's a guest appearance by a famous Swedish chef. So Lisa's put in there, just imagine someone randomly tuning into the radio station right now.
You like the old days when you listen to the wireless.
Oh, no.
Listen to your stories on the wireless, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part two. Yes, we need a part two. Yes, yes, yes.
Because we've left you hanging. Now you don't know.
It's
what's
not Scheisenhausen.
Oh, she's dying. Quick, Phil.
You could Phil while I'm dying here.
Sorry. I don't know who I am anymore, Heidi or the historian.
Yeah, I liked how you just suddenly became a vampire halfway through. Renata!
I was getting very confused.
I was expecting the sleeve to go off at any moment.
See, I'd never be able to be an actress because I can't handle
her continuity shot.
No, I can't handle the, Okay, I think we need to go to a song.
You need to recover after that? All right, we'll go to a song.
Muscles all worn out.
All right, we'll be back soon.
Do you have paranormal questions? Well, we have the answers. It's time for Spooky Chat with Anne and Renata.
And this is the time of the evening you guys get to ask us some questions, as we are paranormal investigators, ghost hunters, psychics, mediums, techie guys, and we try to do our best to give you some advice if you've got some questions about something that might be happening that's worrying you, or some phenomena that you've seen that you don't understand, or something about equipment. But first off, we'll have a little hello. We've got here, who's this? Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Howdy, ladies and cousin Steve. Aaron from Griffith here. Hope you're all well. Roto is out my way, about an hour and a half northwest from here. Still loving the show. Aaron, it was you that sent me the black and red woven parachute cords, wasn't it? Because I still have those. I'm using them for my keys and stuff. We have a question from Lee. Hi, lovely ladies. A question for Paranormal Q&A. She sent this through on Thursday. Or is this... I thought we did this one about time slips.
Yes, we did.
We did. Okay. We did. In that case,
about time slips.
That was a time slip.
Oops. Who we got here? When you send songs into Spooky Sundays. Sorry, we can't play Fairy Tale of New York this year as it's too offensive. Anyway, here's a song about Cardi B rapping about her fanny. That was a meme he sent to her fanny.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Beckaloo.
Beckaloo.
Hi, Anne, Renata, and Steve. I really enjoyed the video you put out about the hauntings in New Orleans. It was great to watch.
Thank you.
We were so proud to put that out. I wish I could have got the sound right, but as I said, we did it on the fly, and I was just grateful we could get that. And thanks to Cousin Steve for the editing. My question is, How does skepticism and critical thinking contribute to paranormal investigations? Oh, I love that question. Are there any benefits in having skeptics actively involved in an investigation?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We love skeptics.
And there's very much a difference between a skeptic and a cynic. So we are all skeptics on our team. We don't have anyone really who is someone who 100% believes in everything that is going on without question. And that's the important thing. If you are skeptical, you're wanting to know why and how. How did this happen? How is it possible? Is it possible for something else to make this occur rather than it just be straight paranormal? So that's the job of a skeptic. You are always questioning what has just gone on and whether there might be some normal reasoning behind it. If you are a cynic, you have core beliefs that often impinge on many different facets of your life. So you are kind of really hard-nosed with how you think about things, and nothing will change your mind. Absolutely nothing.
You could have a ghost walk up to you, go boo in your face, walk straight through you, and you'd still go, no, that's not a ghost. That's a hologram projection. Somebody's doing that.
Yeah, somebody's having a go at me.
But do you know what I'm finding more and more in the field, and it's really quite sad, is that we have some paranormal investigators and ghost hunters that are cynics, and they are really starting to poop on things that people are using in the paranormal field, and those people are having some success with it, or they're learning how to use it. There are many people out there who don't understand what they're doing and how they're using it, but they're having a good time. And quite often by doing that, it actually leads them to gaining more knowledge. And I very sadly see some of the same people who just dump all over stuff that people are trying to do, people that are naively using the equipment. So instead of encouraging them and saying, look, when you're using those apps and things, maybe go and look at the permissions, find out what it's accessing on your phone and how the app works, they're just dumping on them and going, oh, well, that's a load of crap, that thing. And those people that listen to that, they've got no idea what they're doing. And some of the information they were presenting in their argument was actually wrong, because they hadn't looked up the app and learnt about the permissions and didn't know how it worked. And the people who wrote the article had done the same thing. They were assuming things about it and not actually looking at the way the app works.
We all start somewhere.
We do.
And we all probably start by either reading a book on ghost stories or watching something on TV or the streaming services. And we all learn along the way if that's how we want to evolve in this. Some people don't. Some people just want to have a bit of fun, and that's about it.
But it's when those people who just want to have fun are portraying themselves as experts at what
they do. Oh, everyone does that. Yeah.
We're doing it right now.
Everyone has the ability to have a YouTube channel or to be on Facebook and put up something that they have just done. You can't stop that. You can't police it either. And it's...
But this bitterness and this... looking down on these people is not helping anyone. It's as bad as the people who just believe it all without questioning.
Yeah, I understand the frustration, though.
It's like orbs. We get frustrated with orbs, but we know it can be a stepping stone to learning.
If it is a stepping stone to learning, and that's where the frustration comes in. If people, again, then become hard-nosed about something and go, well, this is it, this is the holy grail, that's when it becomes dangerous.
You should, as Dave just said there, he uses apps in conjunction with other experiments, and when they start to support each other and they're two completely different things, then that's really interesting.
It's interesting.
We just don't know how it works. So we should just keep trying everything.
Throw everything at it, see what happens.
All right, what have we got here? Catherine said hello to all you lovely people.
Hello, Catherine.
She's very excited. I love that. Dave, on your New Orleans trip, did you get to explore voodoo culture and what did you learn?
Wow, oh, didn't we just? Oh, we had the most amazing experience. As you would think, New Orleans has a great deal of voodoo and it has a number of different shops and you can go and buy shops, things and talk to the shop owners about some of the voodoo stuff that they have in there. Some people might steer clear because they're a little bit afraid of it. Some people might buy it because it's a souvenir, whatever it is. But we met this beautiful, beautiful soul while we were there.
Robbie.
And
apparently he's YouTube famous.
Robbie is a voodoo priest who comes from a line of voodoo priests. And they were some of the first to come to New Orleans and establish themselves in the French Quarter. And he has gone to university. He has studied as part of his knowledge base, everything about a whole lot of different religions. And he has quite an extended family. And when we did a special tour with him, which was organized by our beautiful tour guide, Angela, he literally said to us, now, I know you go into all of these shops in New Orleans. I know you talk to everyone, but I need to tell you that there's really only one shop in New Orleans that will actually be the real deal when it comes to voodoo. Everything else is just for the tourist trade. And I am here and I'm going to show you what we do, what a ritual would look like from our perspective, our family's perspective, and our ancestral perspective. And he led us through this beautiful ritual, which they do every Sunday as a big community. And there were specific trees around this particular park, and they will go to each of the trees and say their prayers, call in their ancestors, give them special gifts, it was completely different, very much like modern day Wicca, really, in the way that the rituals are established and what the thought processes are behind them. But it's very gentle. It's not the whole cursing thing. They don't really make voodoo dolls and stab them with needles and all of this sort of stuff.
But they made us gree-gree bags.
They did make us gree-gree bags. Yeah.
And that's where it reminded me of the Wicca, where they've got little pieces of cloth where they would take lavender to represent something, and they would take rose petals to represent something else. And what do you call that again? The where you use something instead of the real thing to represent that. The word's escaping me.
Correspondences.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously you can't put blood into something, so you would put a piece of red cloth in to represent that. Mm-hmm. And they would make up all of this stuff, and then they would put some different smelly drops. What do you call those things? Oh, words is hard. It's been a long drive today.
Oil essences.
Yeah, oil essences. And then they'd tie it up very tightly and knot it, and they would say their prayers over it as they were doing it, and then they'd gift that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up with two of the gree-gree bags, but unfortunately we couldn't bring them back into Australia because it was containing herbs and rice and grains and things which would be illegal. So we very sadly we opened up their little bags and we thanked for the whatever it was and for the gifts that were offered to us and returned it to the earth, and then we just took home the piece of cloth that still had the smell attached to it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I have put into the comments with the people who are in YouTube, and I'll try to put that into the live feed, the information down below or the YouTube video of Roby, and he gave us permission to
record
it. And some of the things he was saying were so profound that it was a life-changing experience.
It was.
And he's such an incredible incredibly knowledgeable person. Mm. I feel like I need to sit down and listen to all of that again to take it all in again.
Mm. And he didn't talk down to you. He talked to you.
Yeah.
And everyone that was there in the group, and that was a huge group, there would have been over 30 people there, felt profoundly touched by what he was saying. So it was an amazing experience. One of the most wonderful experiences that we had. We had many while we were there, but this has left a lasting legacy, I think, on how we think about things.
Yeah. And a big thank you to Cousin Steve and the team for looking after business while we were over there.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a frog in my throat. Oh. I don't know what's happening.
Frog's
there.
Legs from Louisiana.
No, I did not have frog's legs while I was there.
One of our people did.
They did.
Mm.
Apparently tastes like chicken. You'll be right.
No.
God.
Nope, can't do it.
I think we've all had worse things in our mouths. But anyway,
speak for yourself. All right. Anyway, going to a song. We'll be back after this.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
And we're back with our question and answer session, Spooky Chat. Renata's feeling a little unloved. She needs some more text to come through from you guys to show her the love. 0490 84 8886. And I think we need to start planning our Christmas show. I think we should have some people text through some of their favourite Christmas songs they would like to hear. Got to have a Christmassy sort of theme.
It tastes back in there.
There we go. There's a skull. And we'll start collecting a little list of songs to have on our final show for the year.
I've got something really interesting to tell everyone. Because they can't use it now. But when I was looking for stuff to talk about today, I actually found out, maybe you knew about it, Hasbro for Halloween actually put out a AI Ouija board, and it was available for people to use for like 2 days or so, and then they took it off. They took it off and you can't use it anymore. So that was interesting. And they actually said that they did get some results.
Ooh.
But it became a little bit boring because you were actually kind of working against the AI. There was no tangibility in it. You weren't touching a board or anything. Yeah. But yes,
that's
an
cool
AI Ouija board. Which is a little bit like, I guess, some of the spirit boxes and things that we use, the apps. Very, very similar.
There's some really good suggestions coming through. All right, behind the scenes, piece of equipment, explaining techniques. I like Dave's suggestion. That's really cool. Hello, Michelle from the UK, who is watching.
Hello, geezer.
Hello. Good day.
Thanks for joining us. Wow, whereabouts in the UK are you from? Oh, I do love the UK.
Now, can I also tell you about the turning that is going on with people who are actually watching paranormal TV shows? Now, Higgy Pop did a survey with over 1,000 responses, and people are turning away from the shows that are just hanging on to demonic responses.
Oh, hallelujah.
So it says, do you believe that paranormal reality TV shows accurately portray paranormal investigations? And the 60% said somewhat, and 35% said no, not at all. Now, where do you typically find the most credible paranormal shows? This will blow you away. 33% said YouTube channels.
I'm not surprised.
And 20% said streaming services, and 18% said TV, traditional TV. What frustrates you the most when watching these shows? And 64% said over dramatization. Wow. And 18% said inauthentic investigators. Interesting. Yeah. Now, do you think some shows exaggerate or fabricate evidence? A whopping 59% said yes, often.
Wow.
And 39% said occasionally, and only 2% said no, never.
2%.
2%.
Ah.
And that would be the people who are probably everyone fabricating
it. Everyone that works at Ghost Adventures.
Now, how do you feel about the number of episodes or shows focused on demons? 73% said too many, it's overdone.
Yes!
The times are changing.
You. 73%. I told you they turned. It's finally turning. We have stuck to our truth and our honesty for the whole time, and it's been boring because it's the reality, and finally people are seeing it.
But this is the most interesting one, and might be a bit of a lesson for us too. Would you like to see more local folklore and legends integrated into episodes? 69% said yes.
Oh,
so do you want to know about legends? We need you. Do you know? You want to know about legends? You want to know about folklore in these areas?
Everyone's seen the big places. The big places have been done to death.
Yes, they have.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's no new information for people.
Yep.
Although everyone's still drawn to them.
True, but they're doing it. They're drawn to it for their own personal experiences, the TV show.
Yeah, they've seen it on the TV show.
We all want to go to Waverley Hills.
Yes.
But not because, you know, everyone else has been there. We want to go there for our own experience.
And I want to see if what they're talking about actually happens.
True. Mm-hmm. So you don't need another person telling you the same stuff you can watch on five different shows.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do it yourself.
Out of all, because we've been to many famous places now, we've deliberately gone to a lot of the big name places. How many experiences have we had that confirm the hauntings in those locations?
Very few.
If any at all.
Yeah.
But then we go to places like the little place we went to last night and we have something so profound happen that we can't explain it.
And we weren't looking for that in particular.
No.
We weren't looking for that to happen at all. That was absolutely and totally left a field.
And we could have actually not even realised that's what it was and ignored it until someone
No.
But this is what I say about Maitland Jail too. Everyone gets so fixated on, like when we do the residents and stuff, they get so fixated on, oh my God, it's a jail, there's horrible things. But this is also a chance, if you're opening yourself up to, you know, the other side,
mm-hmm.
that Grandma can pop through, or Auntie Cheryl, or mm-hmm. someone walking down the street can pop mm-hmm. in. So don't limit yourself to just thinking location-based spirit. Like, you know, we've had some really actually profound things happen to people at the jail that have nothing to do with the jail.
And some people have realised that they have some talent by doing some of the experiments. And some of the experiments, and we have so many varied experiments that some people can really kind of resonate. I had a young lady who just fell in love with using the dowsing rods, and it was the very first time she'd used them. And it was like she'd had them in her hands all her life.
Yep. And then we had the one who picked a 5-letter word out of the air with no context whatsoever as the mystery word. I don't even think we told them it was an animal, did we? I can't remember. I just said it was a 5-letter word. And they came up with the word parrot.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the words.
Some of the connections with the spaces that people get.
Yeah.
I've got to read you this, Renata. I think you're going to love this. This is from Michelle. We asked Michelle where she was from in the UK. She is in Ashford in Kent and works at Dover Castle, and we should come visit one day.
Oh, yes, we will.
That's it. That's an invitation. We'll be there. We're coming.
They're like vampires, Michelle. You shouldn't have let them in.
You've just opened the door.
Oh. We've got to remember that. We do like a good castle.
Oh, I love a castle.
Yamada said, can I write an email to you about dowsing rods? I have the video to prove it. Sure.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
I think you've got my email because you sent me that awesome book. All right, we do have some texts that have come through. I should...
vibrating as we speak.
Maxine said she'd love to see us both for a cuppa. Oh, my heavens. I don't even have time to wipe my bottom. Never mind have a cuppa. What have we got there? A long-time listener, first-time texter. Can you give us a little hint of next year's highlighted events? first time texting my ass day. highlight events. Are we going to Ireland in March?
Mm-hmm. That is actually growing because you are now receiving a free day where we're going to be in a castle. And we've changed.
Sorry, Steve.
We have changed a little bit of the itinerary, so there is more time better. On the ground doing more interesting stuff. Who wants to sit on a bus when you're in Ireland?
Yeah.
You just want to get from point A to point B, and off you go into that space and investigate and, yeah, learn as much as you can about it. And I tell you what, they do ghost tours overseas so well. They are so passionate about the spaces that they have and the things that they talk about. It's incredible. It's a learning experience for us too as tour guides and investigators who have our own spaces. I always come back really refreshed and having learnt something from the guides.
Oh, bang goes the phone on the microwave.
On the microwave. On the microwave.
We've had a big day, everyone. It's you know. We do have a good question here. Do you think that around Christmas time that the spirits of your relatives pop in for the day and they'd like to think that their parents called in and said good day and look to see how the family's going? You know, this is going to be my first Christmas without my dad and I am going to set a place at the table for him.
Mm-hmm. It is part of our culture to always set a place at the table with all the stuff, knives and forks, yep. And everything is set there, and that is the space. They are welcome to come and sit at the table with us and enjoy Christmas. So, yes, absolutely.
There's again, lots of Christmas ghost stories.
Yeah, it's invitation. It's coming through, and even subconsciously you're already thinking days and weeks prior to those few days that, you know, you're going to be missing people and you wish they were there. You wish they could see how you've changed or your grandkids or whatever. So, yeah. Absolutely, they're going to be there.
Beautiful. As long as they don't eat too much.
Don't stay away from the crackling and prawns.
All right, guys, it is time for us to head off to a song. Top of the hour, we'll be back with more. I've got some real, true, creepy stories, spooky stories from people who have had moments with spooks.
We've got Steve's Creepy Corner.
Cousin Steve's Creepy Corner.
And I'm going to be talking about vampires.
Renata's
Ramblings. Vampires.
We'll be back after this.
It's time to cross back to the other side. Welcome back to Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata.
And welcome back to the second hour. We almost don't have time for you because of that long song.
That's okay. There's always time for Creepy Cousin Steve.
Always. So let's go to the Creepy Corner straight away, Cousin Steve. Always. What are you talking about this time?
So welcome back to the Creepy Corner where we pop the bubble on pop culture and the paranormal. Mm-hmm. We're going back. We're enjoying the holidays. We're enjoying the holidays. We're going to go back to the movies to look forward because, you know, it's the holidays now. Everyone's kind of settling in for their Muppets Christmas Carol and their whatever.
We're not in December yet. Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's getting close. Like we're at the bee's fanny end of November.
There should be no Christmas trees before December 1. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I went and saw a great movie called...
It's happening now.
I went and saw a great movie called Thanksgiving the other night. It's a bit of a slasher if anyone...
Oh.
Yeah, it's quite funny, quite scary.
But that's what's next
gross.
For America, isn't
yes.
it? Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving's next week for America. So if you haven't seen Eli Roth's Thanksgiving... Say that. But there's a little interesting trend happening again in the cinemas. Mm-hmm. We've been all over the place. Horror cinema takes a good trend and runs it into the ground. So we've had the found footage films. We've had serial killers. We've had all that kind of stuff. We've had ghosts. We've had Japanese ghosts. Mm-hmm. But now we're taking terror back into the mundane. There are two films that are coming out that are very, very interesting because of where they're set. So the first one I'm going to talk about is a movie called Night Swim.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So Night Swim is based on a 2014 short film by Rob Blackhurst and Bryce McGuire. And it's about it's about basically...
A shark
a
movie?
Haunted swimming pool.
Oh.
Now the big screen remake is out there now. I saw the trailer for it, and it is oddly oddly off-putting because it's a game of Marco Polo in the pool in the dark as the lights flicker on and off and there's dark shadows. There's not a lot out there about the film at the moment. So it's about a family that move into a new home and they've got this abandoned empty swimming pool that they fill up.
Right.
And then I think they've signed out they shouldn't have filmed up that swimming pool. Mm. But it's an interesting twist because, you know, we've had external horror, as we've talked about a couple of weeks ago, and why, you know, certain ghost stories resonate and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This is something that, you know, it's in your backyard.
I
remember swimming, like, as a child, going, sometimes you get the little eepy craze in the nighttime, you're like, oh, something creepy's going to happen. But I think it's like the answer to what would happen if you swam in the pool at Amityville. Like, they had a pool. They never used it, but, you know, they did have a pool. But the other movie, the big one that they're is pushing now, is from Blumhouse, which is the home of modern horror. They have everything, every film, and it's called Imaginary.
Right.
Now, the premise of Imaginary: when Jessica returns to her childhood home with her family, she finds her old stuffed bear Chauncey, and that her stepdaughter Alice has grown attached to it. After Alice's behaviour becomes concerning and the games that she and Chauncey play turn increasingly sinister, Jessica starts to realise that Chauncey is much more than a stuffed bear that she believed him to be for all those years.
Mm.
So it's about her abandoned imaginary friend.
Oh, I like
that she
it.
She goes back. And I had this.
I'm having a Toy Story moment.
I had an idea about this years ago, and I can't remember if I ever wrote it down and put it on a message board or something, but I'm like, this sounds familiar. But that's so personal. Like, how often, you've both raised children.
The imaginary
friends get up to some weird stuff. And we've talked about manifesting, using your energy to manifest spirits or create spirits.
Yeah.
What if we're doing that with imaginary friends? What if that's like kids believe so wholeheartedly in their imaginary friends until they're told not to?
It's almost like the Philip experiment where they imagined a person into being.
They get told that so-and-so doesn't exist, so-and-so doesn't exist, and they fade away into the background. But what if they refuse to fade? It's very interesting. I feel like that's really interesting because you create these friends to, you know, to support you and love you and do all these things, and you put so much dependency on an imaginary friend, and then they're just left.
Yeah,
as you grow up,
they were your support crew. They were the ones you talked to.
They get abandoned,
dumped.
And I think that's really that's a really interesting concept for something scary. Because if you create something and then you ignore it, and then you you've given it all this life
and love
and attention, a focus and attention. Is there, do we have jealous spirits at jails and stuff, at the jail and at the sites we visit? Because sometimes we give a lot of attention to certain entities that we believe are there.
Yes.
And the others must be going, hey.
Yeah.
I'm here.
What about me?
Shannon
what
Knoll.
What about me?
Shannon Knoll's moment.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting that, you know, we always go inwards and outwards with horror and what scares us because these things exist in our house. It's not the superfluous.
It's not external.
Yeah, the mask killer that is stalking the woods.
Mm.
It is, you know, the scare. Like, you read Reddit, some of the Reddit's the scary shit my kids have said to me.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is in everyday life. Everyday life is a little bit scarier than we give it credit for, but we just get wrapped up in the everyday of it all when we don't know, if there is someone sitting there. Like, your cat's staring at the corner for a reason, folks. That took me this week. I was like, there's some really great horror that you can find in your own home.
And that's even more horrible to
think
about.
That is more horrible because you don't know. Your home is not, unless you built it from the ground up and, you know, it's
but
been
even
your
then.
Land. It's, there's been life before you.
Yeah.
We are all just, we're all just travellers and visitors on this plane. So you never know whose space you're invading and coming across. But if I want to know if anyone's ever had something weird happen with an imaginary friend many years later, a coincidence or something like that, to let them know that, hey, I'm still around. Knock, yeah, knock, knock.
Remember me?
Remember me?
Text it through to 049-084-8886. We'd like to hear your story.
Those are two of the more interesting ones. But with big box office horror like The Exorcist flopping,
mm-hmm,
we're looking for scares elsewhere.
Oh, people, has it flopped? People
don't want that stuff anymore. They want the real
people
stories.
Authenticism, as we discussed.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you've mentioned that because I've got real ghost stories from Reddit tonight.
Look, it's just we're all syncopated.
Syncopated.
We've got simpatico happening.
Mm.
Ooh, delicious.
All right, we need to take a break and we'll be back shortly.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
Welcome back, everyone. And I'm going to go to the 17th century here and give you a little bit of a insight on vampires.
Oh, back home for Renata.
It is.
Oh, welcome to the club, Steve. Thank you.
I am actually going back home because this is all about Poland and that they found the remains of a female vampire with a sickle around her throat.
Oh, I saw that on the news.
Yes. Oh. So a sharp sickle was placed around her neck, ready to decapitate her should she jolt awake after death, and a padlock was put around her big toe. So it was positioned so that if she jolted upright, it would cut her head off her body.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's what scientists found when they excavated the corpse of a woman they believed was suspected of being a vampire in 17th century Poland. The unnamed woman, thought to be young and of a high social class, given that she was buried in a silk scarf, was probably accused of being supernatural because she stood out, experts said. A large protruding tooth may provide some clues.
Aww.
Yep, so a professor from Poland's Nicholas Copernicus University in Turing said, and did you know that Adam Driver is going to play Copernicus in a new movie?
Oh.
There you go. Poland everywhere, yay. Said burials involving a sickle are extremely unusual. Archaeologists from the university made the discovery in the southern village of Pień in the Eastern European nation last month and published their findings this week. Now, ways to protect against the return of the dead included cutting off the head or legs, placing the deceased face down to bite into the ground, burning them and smashing them with a stone.
Oh.
Now, in this case, a sharp scythe is not laid flat but placed on the neck in such a way that if the deceased had tried to get up, most likely the head would have been cut off or injured. The woman's exhumed remains are now being studied at the university. Her burial reveals paranoia and fear around vampires and the gender politics at the time. And this is what I'm getting around to.
Oh, here we go.
So charges of being vampires were often made against people who didn't fit in. Anxiety about vampires came from people who were different, as was often the case in witchcraft accusations. The woman may have been singled out for her gender, a physical deformity, or any social anomaly considered immoral, as people sought supernatural explanations for those they perceived as outcasts.
Because God wouldn't have made them less than perfect.
Mm. It is not unusual for vampiric graves to be found on roadsides or crossroads. This is because the deceased were not permitted to be buried close to others or in consecrated ground and cemeteries. The suspected individuals would often be buried with chains or multiple stakes driven through their bodies.
T-bone?
Others found in such graves may have died by suicide. The fear was that they could have wandered the earth and risen from the grave. Women were very susceptible to retaliation for any kind of accusation or anomaly, from refusing to marry, having a miscarriage, or even for having their period. That her clothes indicate a high social status proves that such accusations of vampirism affected women from all stations. It was all part of this demonizing of women that took place even back then.
Even back then.
If you stood out in any way, similar to the witch trials, to be slightly different created the same sort of hysteria. It would have been a case of accused first, otherwise you'd be accused yourself. Witch hunts are a vile thing and they haven't gone away.
No, they haven't. They happen even in modern day culture when people gang up on someone and then convince the people around them to follow their lead.
So despite the 17th century medical community's relative lack of scientific knowledge about communicable diseases or mental health, the burials were performed with a great degree of pragmatism to prevent the dead from rising from the grave. Coming back as a vampire was a fate worse than death. So even with mental health issues, even with communicable diseases, you were looked upon as an outcast. And what do? With you? We try and get rid of you as much as we can and as quickly as we can. So accusations of vampirism were common across Europe at the time, especially in what is now Serbia, Romania, Greece and Italy. The church and other authorities were systematic in investigating and exhuming bodies and hunting for evidence of vampirism, which could include a lack of decomposition, red cheeks, blood in the mouth or swollen corpses.
Oh, but the corpses bloat.
Yes, all of those are also signs of decomposition and certain diseases that the body had. So in some respects, these were very superstitious beliefs and the investigative methods were very scientific. The myth of vampires has evolved over the centuries. Some historians trace their origins back to biblical references of Lilith, an apparently demonic wife of Adam who preyed on the weak and young. You know that Adam had a wife before Eve, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, it was Lilith.
Oh, she's a vampire. Blue!
Oh, you didn't do the arm, Steve. Radio.
Eve was the second wife.
Oh, but I didn't think you were allowed to have two wives.
No, they got rid of
the first
Lilith.
One's a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Lilith, did she die or was it divorce?
She's undead.
So others cite the ancient Greek myth of Lamia, a blood-lusting demon, who also fed off children. The stories are common across the world, sliding on a scale between zombies and transformative bats, but they generally have some elements in common. Experts say such as an association with blood feasting on the living and being contagious. A padlock was also attached to the big toe on the left foot of the remains of a female vampire unearthed in Poland.
Have a toe.
Vampires have long fascinated the modern imagination, from Bram Stoker's Dracula to the television hit Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Twilight and movies, and the popular children's animation Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah.
We are naturally drawn to dark stories because they explain centuries-old interest in vampires. Isn't that interesting?
It is. I'm going to get buried with a lock on my toe.
Ooh.
Now, just
they'll dig me up.
One more thing. In some parts of Europe, bodies may be cut in two down the middle, or the head sliced off, or a stake driven through the corpse to pin it down.
Delicious.
In Chinese accounts, one way to keep a corpse immobile is to bury it with rice, since the undead like nothing better than to count rice
grains.
That's
right, they've got to count them.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
And it dries them out.
Yeah.
Like your phone. When you drop it in the toilet.
Similar accounts have been found in Europe with seeds being sprinkled inside graves for suspected vampires to count until the sun comes up. They talk about that too with
the
protection of babies
tomorrow.
To put a bowl of rice or seeds.
I haven't
seeds.
Heard that. Wouldn't they choke on it?
No.
Not in the cot.
Put it somewhere so if there is a revenant that would come around to attack the child, it will be drawn to that area. And
did you say revenant or reverend?
He's not talking into the microphone again.
And have to count the rice.
Yes. I thought you were supposed to spill it or something.
Discombobulated. Thank you very much for talking all the way through it.
Fried rice.
Hey, look, we didn't talk to the very end.
There is incidentally nothing odd in the revenant being a woman, Rady said in the Polish case. Quite why the locals feared the woman might become undead is unknown. Possibly something as simple as dying violently by falling off a cart. Anyway,
Hang on. There's a comment for you.
Yeah.
If we're allowed to say it now.
Yes, you can.
Oh, my God, Renata. I didn't know Lilith was Adam's first wife. All those years of church drumming it in, and they never mentioned his first sore rib.
Of course they wouldn't.
Spare rib.
Sore rib.
You know why? Because Lilith talked back.
Yes.
Lilith talked back. She said, excuse me, but yeah, you're not going to treat me
She
like
was
that.
The good one.
Anyway, we're going to a good old Beatles song. We'll be back shortly.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
Welcome back, everyone. Anne, you have a true ghost story for us.
I do. I thought I'd dig around on Reddit because Renata had mentioned Reddit, and I thought, I've never actually gone into Reddit very much and looked at the stories.
Oh, God, help yourself.
So I'm heading down the rabbit hole of ghost stories in Reddit that have really happened to people. And I found some very interesting ones that have only been added in the last 24 hours. And the one I've chosen today is the Unexpected Ritual. Now, this was posted by Shocking Grayman. So here we go. In the heart of 1970 Singapore, where my childhood unfolded, our house stood just a stone's throw away from the Christian cemetery. The mornings were shrouded in an eerie tranquility, and yet this proximity never discouraged my early excursions with my father. Together we sought solace in the cemetery's embrace, a haven adorned with trees and an oasis of peace. It was during those pre-dawn hours when solitude reigned supreme that the cemetery truly revealed its mysteries. The darkness within those cemetery grounds held no fear for me. Instead, it became a canvas for my childhood adventures. Amongst the tombstones, hide-and-seek echoed countless times, an innocent game amidst the resting souls. However, even in this familiar terrain, there existed a place I dared not approach, a hidden village nestled deep within the cemetery's bosom. Cloaked beneath a dense canopy of trees, it perpetually shrouded itself in an inexplicable mist. Legends whispered of traditional Malays dwelling in the clandestine hamlet, living without electricity or gas, or even more terrifying for you, Steve, internet. Relying on wood for cooking and oil lamps for illumination. It was a dark, stark contrast in the modern cityscape of Singapore. Fueled by curiosity, I embarked on a daring adventure, pedaling towards the mystery veiled within that hidden village. They're on the push bikes like the kids.
On the treadley.
Yep. As I approached the village entrance, an unexpected mist greeted me. An odd occurrence in the typically hot Singapore midday. Summoning courage, I pushed through the chilling fog, reducing visibility to a mere haze. Deeper into the village, darkness enveloped me, revealing shacks and huts crafted from primitive materials. Some lacked doors, heightening the sense of the uncanny. The mist thickened, forcing me to dismount and proceed on foot, pushing my bicycle through the haunting atmosphere. Amidst the gloom, one hut emitted a warm glow, its candlelight beckoning me. Drawn to the illumination, I pressed forward. As I did, the weather shifted. A sudden drizzle transformed into a torrential downpour. Wiping my eyes, I found myself standing before the hut, as if it had materialized out of thin air. Smoke billowed from burning candles inside, creating an illusion of fire. Stepping forward, my entire being was inexplicably pulled into the hut. The smoke dissipated, revealing a ritual in progress. Villagers adorned in tribal costumes with unnaturally elongated tongues, chanted in an unfamiliar language.
Hello.
Glass bottles littered the scene, containing deformed baby fetuses suspended in cloudy ethanol alongside entrails. Panic set in. Oh! And as I attempted to flee, my legs felt rooted to the ground. A warm liquid trickled down my legs and horror consumed me. The chanting crescendoed, blurring my vision. A boy my age appeared, raising his arm, yet I felt nothing. Vision fading to black, the echoes of the chant lingered in my ears. Gradually, regaining consciousness, I found myself back home, safe in my bed. Overwhelmed with relief, I embraced my parents, tears streaming down my face. Despite the bizarre encounter, I never questioned my parents about my rescue. I simply wished to erase the event from my memory. Years passed in silence until one day, returning to the cemetery with my father, I saw the boy again.
Oh, don't look it in his eyes. Don't look in his eyes.
Strobe lights flashed, recalling the horrifying images imprinted in my mind. Panic seized me and I called out to my father. His gaze met the boy's.
Hello.
A little older now, but the familiarity struck me. They exchanged waves, and I questioned my father about the boy. Nonchalantly, my father revealed that the boy had fallen off his bike years ago, and he had found and carried him back to the village. The revelation sent shivers down my spine as the insignificant event resurfaced with haunting implications. Reference: the fetuses in the bottles are a manifestation of black magic, voodoo, and traditional practices in various Australian Asian cultures still prevalent today.
Oh. Sounds like the hut that they stumbled across was the remains of one of those all-you-can-eat pizza huts.
Oh. Yeah. It's a pizza hut.
Bottles everywhere.
With entrails.
Long tongues. Everyone looking. Where's the garlic bread?
Isn't it a great story, though?
It is. Yeah.
Now I really want to go to pizza. Was it a dream hut, or he said he was rescued.
Mm.
So there's no talk about how he was rescued. The boy is there, but I don't quite work out how the ending fits.
They didn't think that far ahead.
That seems like a real one to me.
Yes, fetus.
Let's go with a song, and you guys can just think that over while you're listening.
Fetus, a fetus.
Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata on Newcastle Live.
Welcome back, everyone, to the last.
Oh, I thought we were going to a sex show then, the way she was saying that.
To the last gasp.
The dying
Spooky embers. Sundays.
Trying to steal Louise's job there.
Spooky Sundays tonight, that last moment.
The death rattles of the show.
We all get together and talk about what's coming up.
Talk crap.
Right.
Yes, so we did start earlier on. I think Dave did say what's coming up for the next year, and we did get to Ireland and we squirreled off into something else. So we have Ireland. We have New Orleans. No, it's now changing it to the New England featuring Salem for Halloween, because it was going to be ridiculously expensive, like three times the original price, because
it's Halloween,
the month of October,
and everyone wants to be there.
Yeah, so we
starts
will,
in September there. Yeah, Halloween starts in September.
We will be going into Salem. That will happen, but we're not staying in Salem because it would price it out of the budget. So we've found some, Maria's been searching for other awesome places around the area where a lot of the history of the witches and everything started, and we're going to be staying in haunted hotels. There'll be, instead of the holiday inns, we're going to be staying in haunted locations, which is going to be really exciting.
There's other stuff other than witches involved in that tour as well.
Oh, you're going to vampires and
quite
ghosts.
Famous places.
We
are.
They're being organised for us is a very well-known, incredibly scary location, possibly for the Halloween night. We are just dotting the I's and crossing the T's and getting it in writing.
I want to go.
I know.
I want to go real bad.
We're trying to work out the logistics for it because it is a smallish place and we want everyone to get a chance. But I think we've worked it out. We've just got to...
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's that.
We're also going to go to the place where Hocus Pocus was filmed.
Yes.
There's some great sites around Salem that feature in Hocus Pocus. And they do it right. They like there's an obvious reason why people come to Salem at Halloween and but they do it right.
I have to tell you all that New England trip is going to be more expensive than our Ireland trip. So if you do want to come and travel with us, jump onto the Ireland one because we're going to Lepp Castle, we're going to Charleville Castle, we're going to Duckett's Grove. Yes, there's a podcast coming out about that one.
Yeah.
We didn't even know.
We're
also, there was one other thing we were trying to get our foot in the door to speak at something in America, but we haven't heard back from them. And we're also going to be doing some collaborations.
Yes. So hopefully we will be collaborating more with someone that we did collaborations with.
I wonder who that could be.
They stepped away to have a child. How dare they? But now that baby Atticus is born.
Oh, now they know who it is.
They are ready once again trip the light fantastic with the ghost grannies. And
we've got some cool locations.
So hopefully that will be happening next year.
Yep.
We're going to do a little bit of a collaboration with somebody else in Australia.
In America as well.
So yeah, it's going to be a full on year.
You never know what you're going to see, hear, or smell with the ghost grannies.
No.
I think we may actually at the end of the year. This New Orleans, the New England, is that we'll be over there for 2 weeks-ish for that. And then we're meeting up with our American collaboration and then possibly an Australian collaboration as well. So we could be over in America for 4 to 5 weeks.
Oh, gosh. Please buy us coffees.
Hey, you'll be in America. At least I'll be bucket-sized. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
But we also have something else that we are trying to get out, and it's not Steve's fault, it's ours. We are sort of launching a new style of video coming out on YouTube. And
something spookier,
a little bit more serious. We love the misadventures and everything. They are still continuing, but we have one coming out called The Dark Side.
Ooh.
And we did a bit of travel last year to a few haunted locations where we did some serious investigations. It's still got a little bit of our sense of humour in there. But we are going to try and launch it this week. It comes down to time. We've got to get the last part of our New Orleans trilogy out of the haunting of New Orleans.
Trinity of New Orleans.
Yeah, it's the Trinity. That's right.
Look at me. I know what I'm doing.
Don't roll your eyes, Renata. And yeah, so if we can get that one, because that one still has to be edited up, and poor cousin Steve, he's under the hammer at the moment. We might be able to get The Dark Side, which is ready to go.
There are a few episodes of The Dark Side that are ready.
So we are going to be trying to get an episode out a week of either The Dark Side or our misadventures or stuff.
We got lots of stuff. So if you don't already go onto YouTube, we need some YouTube love.
Yeah, yes, we do.
Yes.
We
need some YouTube, and there are thousands of hours worth of stuff. You can go down a rabbit hole. There's all the stuff that you guys did, like Ghost Hunters React. There's interviews with Christian Hull, with... Isaac. There's lots of stuff. So if you enjoy Spooky Sundays, you're going to love the YouTube channel. Yes. There's so much stuff there. And all of your stuff, all of your appearances on like the Today Show and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, we've been on TV many times. Yeah. It's all on there.
We'll put links up for you and, please join us on YouTube. Because
like, follow, share and smash that subscribe button.
We need to build that channel because that's where we're heading next year. That is our focus. We are building our YouTube channel and we want to make that our main source of income, and the only way we can do that is with you guys subscribing.
We want to go viral, but not for the STDs.
All right, we need to get off, guys. So once again, thank you very much for staying with us and listening for to all of our beautiful ghost stories. Thank you, Cousin Steve.
Namaste.
Thank you, Auntie Anne. Thank you all for being here. We are saying good night for tonight. Now, remember, stay spooky.
See you on the dark side.
Arrivederci.
Be frightfully good.
Don't be a dickhead. Bye.
Most mysteries can be solved by looking at the facts, but sometimes the facts don't give us the answer. So it's time to call in Anne and Renata. Spooky Sundays, when the truth lies beyond a logical answer. Dive deep into the world of the unknown with real ghost stories and the unexplainable. Sometimes unconventional, but always entertaining. It's Spooky Sundays with Anne and Renata. Sunday from 8 p.m. only on Newcastle Live.